Hello, I'm Jennifer Geisler with Cisco, and welcome to this special podcast on Cisco Borderless Networks for the defense industry. My guest today is Kevin Orr, Operations Director for Department of Defense for Cisco. Now, he will help us understand what Cisco means by borderless networks, and more importantly, how is borderless networks relevant to national defense? So, Kevin, welcome to today's podcast.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
Well, Kevin, I'm really anxious, so let's just start right in here. I mean, we've heard Cisco talking a lot about borderless networks. Now, I think many of our listeners may have their own opinion of what borderless networks mean, especially in a defense context. But I'd like to ask you, what is it, first of all, and why is it so important?
You're right, Jennifer. Thanks. So borderless networks, it's a business and a technical architecture. So let me kind of explain to you what this means. In the business world, a lot of our people are asking about what efficiencies can they get out of the network? What can it do or what can it not do? And I hear this quite a bit in our defense market. Really, it's a set of challenges here, and the challenges all become a set of borders. For example, you know, one of the themes is the network is no longer just for PCs and laptops, but we have all sorts of devices tying to the network, which leads us to a border. In our defense networks, we have everything from video surveillance to command and control to voice over IP, radio aware routing, mass notifications. We have all kinds of different applications that are running across our networks today. And of course, then I get to different branches within the military. So as we start dealing with some of the theater conflicts we have, no longer do we go as just the United States Department of Defense, but we go really with a coalition with 44 countries from around the world join us on different conflicts. So how do we tie all of those networks together and still maintain the security, the availability that we need? And then the big question is how do we make sure we prioritize traffic so that we know that the command and control message goes through before somebody working on social networking games?
Okay, well, Kevin, I'm going to trust that since you're pretty savvy, you wouldn't be asking that question without having a really good answer. So how do we answer that for the defense? Because I'll say we all know that security is top-notch. So how do we address that for defense?
Sure. That's precisely some of the challenges that the Cisco Borderless Network is designed to address. You know, now I talked about that we have the border edge there. What we're talking about here is the ability not just to connect devices to the network and hope that they work, but really providing a flexible identification and authorization systems like Cisco Identity-Based Networking Services. Not only high availability is required for them, but right now, who and why are you on the network? As the cyber attacks come across the military right now, this is something that they are really focused on heavy, is who's on my network, why are they on there? And the first thing we're doing is locking down identity to know the insiders and who's allowed on or off my network in the identity-based system. So that's really one of the big efforts that we're looking at.
Well, excellent. So, and then I guess the magical question is it's the Cisco Borderless Networks that's going to provide all of this for the defense industry. I mean, does it have the infrastructure to actually do all these great things?
Sure, absolutely. Although the problem extends beyond the devices, it has something to do more with people, too. So as I talked earlier about the coalition, with multiple people coming on, and everybody has different responsibilities and have different levels of security that are associated, you may have a supplier or logistics that you want a different responsibility on the network than you would have somebody in a command and control situation or the loading or firing off of ammunition.
Right. And I mean, it's kind of funny because we see, I mean, this basically, and it's not only a challenge, but it's a border. Like I said, traditionally we think borders are good within the defense industry, but in this case, it sounds like this border is actually a problem.
It truly is. At this point here, looking at that, we need a way to define different roles, responsibilities. We'll have people like a military contractor with a different level of security clearance. So we really need to coordinate with the network the access that people play in those roles. In short, what we need to do is we need to put a policy on the network here that basically was able to define who does what, when, where, how, and that's central to the Cisco Borderless Network architecture.
Okay, and as soon as you mention the word policy management, I think of a lot of our viewers or listeners will say, wow, when you talk policy management, are you going to make that network overly complex by having this, I'll say, comprehensive policy management?
Yeah, very good question, and not necessarily so. If we take a look at the tools that are available, you know, both embedded and external management tools that we have, we can simplify the automated policy management for you. Network security and productivity are not mutually exclusive. We see this all of the time in the Department of Defense. They really want to lock down the security as tight as they can, but at the same time, we're trying to squeeze every bit of productivity as we can.
Okay, excellent. So what we're hearing right now is, in this case, from a defense standpoint, location just shouldn't matter any longer. That shouldn't be a so-called border.
No, you're exactly right. In fact, that's what we're seeing across the Department of Defense, and I think that's why we are doing so well with our Cisco products and within this particular customer, because it really is about mobility. It's about getting out to a soldier in the last mile. And the other thing that's interesting is the United States forces on a daily basis are in 100 different countries around the world. So we need to get to everybody regardless of where they're located at any given time.
Okay, so definitely location shouldn't matter when you're scattered across 100 different countries and working with all these different coalitions. Now, so far what you've talked about here, Kevin, is that we talked about, devices can be a border, and you've addressed how the Cisco borderless networks can overcome that. And then we've just reiterated that location doesn't need to be a border at all, that, you can be anywhere, any place. Are there any other borders in defense that our listeners need to be aware of?
Sure. There's another one called the application border. And really what we're looking at here is the different branches, they're going to have a different role in application as applications that they're going to bring with them. We're seeing a huge uptick right now in Web 2.0 technologies, collaboration, voice and video. And voice is becoming very, very prevalent throughout the tactical theater, where we didn't think we would have it before, mobility voice. And also things like you may see the unmanned aerial vehicles and reconnaissance planes that are out there. You're seeing all the time the video feeds, how I bring that video feeds back in collaborations to greater people. So we're, all the time we're more and more aware of the applications that are running across the network.
Well, and then definitely we want to have, I'll say, a great experience with that, right? Because we need to have 100% streaming real time because the amount of intelligence that provides. And also when our servicemen and women call back home using this type of technology, we like to have that to be, a very positive personal experience as well then.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I got that. Now, so devices, location, application border, we've got that. So, Kevin, are we done with that or is there one more?
Well, there is one more, and it's kind of unusual. We like to think about that the network, because it increasingly touches everything in the defense environment, can provide additional value to other parts of the operation. Obvious, one area that can happen is energy management. And you think about it, Department of Defense is actually one of the largest consumers of energy anywhere you're going to find in the world. And they're very concerned these days on how they go green, how they reduce their budgets moving forward. So taking a look at that, we think that the Cisco borderless network can actually break down that organizational border and actually be able to create better cooperation between the IT, the facilities, and the people that are managing energy costs today.
Okay, so my big question is how does that get done? What technology is there? Technology that enables this? How do we get this
done?
Sure.
Cisco has a technology called EnergyWise, and it really lets our customers intelligently measure and report how much energy consumption we're using across an entire customer or military base. They can optimize the power delivery, reduce costs. I had one of the customers in we talked about the other day that was really excited the fact that we could show them how much power was coming through their facility through a web browser, but more importantly, that we could control, turn on or off air handlers simultaneously. And that's something that they had just not heard of that was possible in the past.
I know, isn't that pretty interesting? Because we thought just because switches typically, have power over Ethernet, but you don't have to be power over Ethernet devices. You can expand to PCs and laptops and other devices like you just mentioned. And those are actually the things that consume energy, right? Not the networking infrastructure, but all these other devices. Do you find that to be consistent within the defense?
Exactly. And they're looking at things like lights, elevators, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. They're really looking at what we can do. Cisco's product in the network building mediator really provides that capability to provide efficiency back to the Department of Defense.
Oh, no, that's exciting. I mean, especially when we can have our federal governments take a leadership and being very, very green and leading by example. Now, here's the main question here. I mean, I think that our viewers are probably very pleased and excited about what you've shared with us so far. So here's the tough question. Bottom line, why Cisco? I mean, why can't our listeners just go out and construct a borderless network with any other network vendor's equipment or a combination of network vendor's equipment? Why go, with Cisco on this?
Sure. I think there's a lot of answers here. You know, starting at the technology level, do other vendors have identity and authorization technology? Sure. I think you're going to see them. Of course, though, that they do not have the same full-featured rich as Cisco does. If you take a look at Cisco identity-based network services, I think the same is true when we look at policy control, quality of service, so many more features. I think that's really what is the differentiation, is what the feature-rich products that Cisco has to offer.
And if you think about it, energy-wise, which you just mentioned, is also a key differentiator, which I haven't heard from anyone else other than Cisco. Now, to just elaborate a little bit more, at the beginning of this session, you talked about the Cisco borderless networks being both a technical architecture, which I think most of us assume it would be, but you also mentioned it was more like an operational and business architecture. Is that something that also makes the why Cisco story unique in this case?
Most certainly. You know, our goal ultimately is to solve business problems. In our defense customer, they're really looking to, they're in the business of protecting and defending our nation. I mean, that really is what we're doing. And Cisco's portfolio of products, really, it's a broad portfolio. Let me give you an example. In the telepresence world, our customer has some special unique requirements. Our final end of the telepresence actually comes down over 2 satellite hops and full encryption. Who better in the world to be able to provide that type of work over telepresence over the LAN, WAN, satellite than Cisco?
Yep, good point.
Yeah, and finally, the borderless networks, it provides the infrastructure for many defense-specific applications we have. Across the board, all of our products are JITC certified. That's a joint interoperability test command compliant certification that we have to have. It endorses all of our products so that they meet the certain levels of quality of service, the IPv6 requirements, and ensures there's going to be seamless interoperability between products anytime we use our products within the Department of Defense. And one of the areas that the Department of Defense is really concerned about is security. And the product set that Cisco's come up with TrustSect really provides that hop-by-hop data encryption, and it gives the user the basic access controls that they need and the assurances that they're going to get the type of security that they need locked down.
Great. Now, there's tons of information that you shared with us today on the podcast, Kevin, and I thank you for that. But I also have the softball question. If our listeners want more information, where should they go?
Sure. The Borderless Network site's at cisco.com/go/borderless. You can also review a recent webcast that we had about borderless networks at cisco.com/go/experience. And if you're interested in our solutions for our national defense, go to cisco.com/go/defense.
So as you all notice here, at cisco.com/go, and you can go to the Go Borderless, Go Experience, or Go Defense. That's terrific. Thank you once again, both Kevin and our listeners today. My guest has been Kevin Orr, Director of Operations for Department of Defense at Cisco. I'm Jennifer Geisler, and until next time, thank you for listening.